Hey there, Z Nation fans. Welcome to another episode of the Z Nation After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about the two-part season finale for season 4, episodes 12 and 13, Mount Weather and the Black Rainbow. We've got a very special show for you guys tonight and two special guests in studio. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh. Here we go.
There it is.
You got to start at the beginning for that song. Thank you, Michelle.
Feelings.
We were pondering Radioactive. We were pondering End of the World as we know it. And then Michelle said,
Welcome to the Black Parade.
And we all kind of went,
to me.
Yeah, here we are.
That's kind of perfect.
It really is. In a terrible sort of fashion.
Guys, I don't know what happened. The season came and went so fast. I can't believe it's over, guys. Fourth time in a row the world might be over?
Well, it's the apocalypse. The world might be over every day.
I told you, we're going to end with an apocalyptic cliffhanger that may or may not murder everyone. Like, this is what
Our
we do.
Special guests have some explaining to do, but let's go ahead and dig into it. Hey there, Z Nation fans. We're talking about the finale for season 4. Let's not waste any time. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet, that is K-I-A-X-E-T. And to my left.
Hello, everyone. I'm Michelle Cullen. You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
Hey, it's Cherry the Geek, and you can find me everywhere as Cherry_LA.
And I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. And joining us on the couch are two returning guest star champions, director Abram Cox. Woo!
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And co-creator, writer, showrunner, I think I've listed off everything.
Mischief maker.
Carl Schaefer. Breaker of hearts.
Herder of cats.
Herder of cats, yes.
Carl Schaefer.
Herder of zombies.
Thank you guys so much for coming on tonight.
Great to be here.
How does it feel now that the season's over?
Really?
Yeah. And then that happened, you know. It went fast for us, too. I mean, it was a short season to shoot. We had fewer days, like 13 fewer shooting days this season than previously. So it was fast and furious. But it came out good, I thought.
Yeah, it was one of those things, I think, where they were like, when we started to find out how fast we were going to shoot, I think there was a lot of like looking at each other and being like, I don't know. Can we do it? We can do it. and then you get, like, the competitive thing of, it's going to happen. We're going to do this. We're going to be able to do this in 5 days. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. Prep 5 days, shoot 5 days. Prep 5 days, shoot 5 days.
Now, due to the additional time constraint that we've had other guests talk about the accelerated time frame this season, but would you guys say this has been your most challenging season so far?
I don't know. Not compared to the first season. I mean, I think that was sort of, you know, because that seemed totally impossible to do at the time when we tried to do that. And we, after that one, you kind of went, well, okay, I guess it is possible in some form.
We can do anything.
To do this, right. And every season had to be different. This one, there was just like no margin for error. And it was all planning and writing to just like, knowing exactly what we could do in a time frame and everybody, you know, coming back for the fourth time to do it and being really on their game and getting lucky in a couple of things and none of it came out too bad. Most of it came out great. So we were happy in the end.
Yeah. And you feel the on set, you always feel the pressure. There's always, I mean, you're always running against a clock. You're coming up to that 10th hour, 12th hour, you know, your blood pressure's rising, you're freaking out, you got 6 things to do, you only have time to do 2 of them, whatever the case may be. But I don't know, it felt strangely a lot simpler after you made it through the gauntlet. After you made it through the gauntlet, you look back and you went, wow, we did it. That was that
right,
wasn't
well, because it
bad.
Was just, I think it was just the planning and they are small shows. They all came in a little short on purpose. and you know, things like that. We used every trick we could to you know, make as much as we had show up on screen.
To answer the AV club, who always is like asking us about why we do slow motion. No,
right.
This is
how you.
We've been reading their reviews.
I saw
really
that today.
No, it's hilarious. We've been reading their reviews, and from the beginning of the season, they always talk about slow motion. You know, fortunately, a couple times it hit right. But the reality is, you know, we'll shoot a lot of slow motion and stuff, and it is fun to do things in slow motion, but sometimes slow motion makes your running time. that's the honest reality, you know. It's kind of like that unspoken fact, but, you know, at the end of the day, it ends up looking a lot of fun, looking very fun, and all of our guys have a lot of fun with it, especially the VFX guys and so forth.
Well, and so much of our show is about, like, what do we have? How much time do we have? Mm-hmm. And what do we have? It's like one of those competitive cooking shows where they give you six ingredients at the beginning of the hour that don't go together, and you have to come up with something. And that's sort of what Z Nation is like. What do we got this week? Well, we have an abandoned farm somewhere, and we only have six zombies, and two of them are kids, so come up with something for them. And
the episode has to use every ingredient in the basket in a new and different way.
Right,
I watched
exactly.
A lot of Chopped.
Exactly.
It's the Iron Chef zombie
fish
chefs.
And vanilla ice cream. And it's like, yeah, okay.
The best are when you start to go, how do we make a drone?
Right? Yeah, no, we just
and then you get in and you have these conversations about, like, we're only going to build 30% of the drone, and then you talk to the art director, and the art director is like, well, we figured out how to build
the
full scale.
The drone
thing
was, it's like, no, we wrote in the drone, and then it was like, okay, well, we're never going to get a drone, so what the fuck are we going to do with that? You know, and it was like, well, okay, we can just, it can be under construction, so we'll put it under a tarp, right? Yeah. We were talking for a long time. It was just, all you got to build me, Vince, all you got to build me is just the framework so we can throw a tarp over it. And he's like, oh, we can't just throw a tarp over it. So, all right, give me one wing and, like, a, you know, a wheel maybe. And in the end, it was, you know, 14 people carving a 40-foot piece of foam that they had put together. And
yeah.
Like, we actually made a drone that you could get in and...
It rolled.
Right.
It was insane.
And keep threatening to put it on a Volkswagen frame and drive it around Spokane and just park it places so, like, Google Earth picks it up or some spy satellite sees it and people freak out.
Park it in front of Boo
Radley. It's a loose drone somewhere.
Absolutely. Right. And it was absolutely hilarious, too, because I remember the original size of it, we were like, okay, well, you know what, we'll shoot this slightly low and wide and we'll make it look
force
bigger
perspective.
Than it is. Force
It'll
perspective.
Like this
we
big.
We started talking about that, and then all of a sudden, like, we got out there, we looked at it, and then I think it was Daniel stepped back, like, 3 or 4 feet one way, and he's like, you know, if you just look at that other angle that you guys want to shoot from, it'd be better if it was just bigger and we could do this thing and all that kind of stuff. And suddenly, like, Vince calls up like an hour, 2 hours later, and he goes, yeah, just so you know, I mean, just make sure Carl's cool with it. We're building it bigger now. And, like, I'm like, you know what? I don't think we need to bother Carl. If we're building it bigger, he's going to walk in and be like, it's
all
cool.
These, like, crazy decisions go in that then turn out to work fine. It's like, well, where are we going to build it? You know, and it's like, well, we had this empty warehouse out there at the abandoned aluminum plant where we shoot all of the Citizen Z stuff. You know, so we'll build it there, and it's like, well, then, so when we shoot it, how are we going to move this anywhere to film it and everything? And it was like, well, I really like the space we're in that we built it in. Let's just say this is where they built it, and it's going to fly out that end of the doors.
This is a hangar now.
Yeah, exactly. This is our hangar, and that paint room where they got all their equipment for this place locked up in it, we're going to say that there's a door in the back of that, and everybody's going to come out of there. And so you just you're just really making it up with what you have. And anything that looks cool with some lighting and a little smoke, it's like, yes, we're doing that. They run down this hallway, you know. And so that was...
It sounds very much like the prop department straight up makes everything in the show in a cave with a box of scraps and always comes out with something miraculous.
I feel like you told the prop department, hey, we need a drone, and they all went... My time has come.
Or, like, you're like, here are the design schematics, you know. Do what you
just
can.
Something.
And then you come back, and it's three times as big. And they're like, we can explain.
Well, this season, this season was certainly a big art department season overall. I mean, it was sort of because we had a we had the museum space that we were using as stages. We've never had stages before in the past. So, Vince, our production designer, was able to build a bunch of great sets. The crypt underground, the bar, the lab, of course, and the same window that you see in the lab that looks like some giant computer thing is the same window that Citizen Z is fighting the what's his name, Mr. Scampi.
Oh yeah,
Stalker Zombie.
And did anybody notice after we had a guy with a pipe through him the next week? There's The Walking Dead, they've got a guy fighting with a pipe through him, just like that. Would he just wander off of our set?
It's the zombie zeitgeist.
Went all the way down from Washington, D.C. to Georgia.
We should say, who's the kid that plays Carl? What's his name? He's invited on our show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anytime if he wants to live on Z Nation, I'm telling him right now he'll live to the final episode if he wants to come hang out with us.
That is an AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Oh,
right?
That's hilarious.
Well,
or if he wants to write his own demise, we'll do that too. He can go out on a motorcycle on fire, whatever the hell he wants. Just Chandler Riggs. That's what Chandler, if you're out
Chandler
there,
Riggs.
Z Nation.
Oh, Chandler Riggs has officially been invited on Z Nation.
Come play with us. We'll have some fun.
So talking about the story for this season.
That we're all super invested in.
If you guys want to talk more behind the scenes, we are completely down with that. But as far as the story for this season goes, I thought we all had a lot of questions at the very beginning of the season regarding Warren's prophetic visions. So regarding the stingray in the sky, which turned out to be, the drones flying through the air. And regarding
the stingray being in the Black Rainbow video, was just like,
that was so a beautiful little detail. So I do have to ask.
I have to tell you about the stingray.
Please do.
So it said in the script, it said a stingray-like shape goes past through the sky. And we have this fantastic visual artist who does our stuff for us, and he's all excited. And he goes, I got that shot for, the vision of the stingray thing going through the sky. And it's an actual stingray in the thing. He's put all this time into making it this beautiful stingray thing, and I'm just going, I can't tell him. It looks fucking awesome, man. What can I say? It's fantastic. I wasn't going to say, no, dude, it was just supposed to be that shape. It wasn't. So that's, and everybody thinks it's like, and it's like one of the signature things that people refer to in the show. And
yeah, I believe when we had you guys on the phone earlier this season, we were like, what's the deal with the stingray? And you guys were like, you'll just have to wait and see.
I predicted that it was a ship.
You did.
I predicted that a while.
Yeah,
I called a surprising amount of this, and I'm kind of mad.
I mean, it is one of those things where you're where you're just going so fast and furious, and everybody's working, and it's a little bit of that thing from Spinal Tap, right, where you wind up with the 8-inch Stonehenge instead of the 8-foot one. But it turned out good. It turned out great. So you just like go, I love it, and go with it. So
that's the motto right there.
Right.
In fact, we should like get that trademark.
That should be a t-shirt.
I love it. Right. Carl, right
whenever,
there.
Something where I'm going, I don't know, and they're going, we don't have any time to do anything else. That's my response is, I love it. I have no choice,
Yes, and. It's very improv.
Oh, exactly. The whole season is like, I mean, every season is a little like this, where it's a bit like jazz. You've got to get really, really
freeform with it. Yeah,
you got to get used to that fluid, because a lot of times, like, you show up on set, you think it's going to be this, but it actually is, a Leatherman instead of a big wrench.
The amazing thing about a TV show too is it's a huge exercise in right on time manufacturing.
Yeah.
Because you're in the writer's room 8 months before you shoot something, and somebody goes, and then he has a golden scepter in his hand. and then all the people in the writer's room will never see that scepter again until that day, at that scene, at that moment, when some guy comes running in with the scepter, and that's and you see it, and you go, ah!
And it's like a brass doorknob, and you're like, brass doorknobs are great!
Yeah, I love it! You know, but we get a lot of that stuff right over time, you know, but you have to be flexible. That's definitely, that's the difference between us and a real TV show.
How did you get to animate the video?
We got, that was like a
friend of Merch's.
Yeah. It was like a company out of Seattle, I think. Yeah. Just a young animation company.
Top notch work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really fun. Good. It was a fun job to throw to somebody.
Was the warning above it. And I wrote
read the warning
out, but
yes,
I don't have it with me.
There's a lot of great stuff.
I don't have it.
Right,
with
no clog dancing. There was all kinds of like crazy
waterboarding was one of them.
Including and limited to waterboarding, dismemberment, country line dancing. Tub thumping.
A lot of countries still tub thump, but
it was
you know,
a great list of this is what back. We're going to do to you for seeing this, and then it becomes a cartoon video at the end of the world.
It's great. From like Cold War era. It was delightful.
For when you just have to murder everyone.
Speaking of, one of the things that we get in the first part of this two-part season finale is we actually get to meet the president along with agents Johnson and Johnson, who I thought were delightful.
Johnson and Johnson, though.
Johnson. Well, I thought it was a great choice that we actually get to meet, I guess, the most legitimate person to be president, given in terms of the line of succession, given that we had an election episode last year.
The 234th president of the United States of America.
And what are we on now, 45th?
Yeah.
They burned through a lot of people.
Exactly. We're a little bit,
sketchy
we're
and skeezy were onto something.
A little far down the list.
They were onto something with their list.
I'm just asking Warren, like, so are you in line?
Now, was that something that you guys decided you wanted to do this season, or did you guys want to do that when you guys did the election episode last season? You're like, hey, let's go ahead and actually bring in the legit president.
I think, I think when we first did that, we sort of figured there was no president. We didn't know at that time that one existed because we didn't need one. So you know, we didn't that we just hadn't dealt with that part of the apocalypse. It's funny. I mean, when you do a show for 5 years, you start to find things out along with the characters as you're doing the storytelling, especially when you keep crossing the country because you don't really think about the whole world until you get to that part of the world and at that time and place and think of it then. So it's the crew and the writers and everybody are kind of moving through a world in the same way, discovering things and making stuff up left and right, too.
And let's be honest, if she really is president, she's president of the ashes. Like, for all of the military enclaves that are still operational throughout the country, as we've seen, like Northern Lights, there's no infrastructure anymore. No troops. Like, it's just her and Johnson & Johnson.
Apparently, yeah. We didn't see anybody else but them.
Eventually Zona, or so they think.
Zona.
Speaking of, the entire chat wants to know where your hoodie came from and if they can get one.
Oh.
Is it available?
You know,
I think it is available. I think
online?
Somebody had them online.
Yeah, yeah. These are great hoodies. And they're comfortable, by the way. They're
Gotta add that to my Christmas list.
Yeah. Logo on the back.
I wear a lot of hoodies. I like this one. This has become my favorite one. This was our crew gift. Hold on, I'll stand up and turn around.
Ooh, a fashion show.
Turn for the camera.
The Z Nation on the back.
That is awesome.
That is really cool.
So the very short answer is no, that's not available to purchase. That's a crew gift.
But,
guys.
But I think they are
available online. Yeah. I've seen them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. I mean, and the cool thing is that, you know, this the Zona aspect of it is, that's the stuff. But, Johnson & Johnson, next time we'll have to use the Koch brothers.
Right.
This is Mr. Barnum and this is Mr. Orange. Bailey.
Yeah,
only
agent orange.
If you put them in an extensive wine cellar.
Absolutely.
Is that too far? Too far with the Koch brothers?
You never know. Okay. Now you've just opened it up. It's going to happen. It's like
I want a little footnote.
That's how stuff works. Moment. It's like, boom. You guys have been up there. You've been on the show. Yeah. Well, you'll come up on the show at some point, Cherry.
There you go.
I'm sure.
Look at that.
Hopefully. I have a question.
Go for it.
10K's been finding love in every episode of the season almost. Who is he going to end up with? And are we going to have a love triangle in season 5? Congratulations on season 5. Yay!
Yay! Season 5.
Well, skipping the news and gossip. It, you all know
I think the thing is like he was so repressed for so long that now the pendulum has swung the other way where we kind of feel like we have to like let him have his day in court with the lady.
Well, he's the cute one. Let's be real.
At some point, we will see Red again, and we'll see what happens. Yeah. You know? Right. It's like, who knows? It's the apocalypse. Anything could happen.
Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of Red, we've had quite a few questions in chat about our disappearing ladies, as it turns out.
Right.
Because Addie disappeared like in episode 2. Sun Mei disappeared in episode 2. Episode 2, we lost half of our cast. We lost most of our women.
Yes.
And we kind of want to know how and why and will they return.
I think I feel like the best way to approach this question, Michelle, do you want to try?
No, I was just going to say, we had Jody and Kalita on last week, and I got to say, where are the uteruses at?
Yeah, where are the uteruses? Uh-huh. But I guess the best way to approach this without dipping into spoilers for season 5 is asking if that was a storyline that you guys had planned out for this season that got left on the cutting room floor because there wasn't any time, or if the plan was always to address it in the next season.
I was always to address it because all of our casting comes down to money. So, you know, how many episodes Addie's in, Red's in, Sun Mei's in, is all a factor of how much character coin we have to spend, and it rippled through doing 5-day episodes, because having things like just bringing two more characters along means there's now 7 close-ups to shoot with every scene instead of 5, and you just at a certain point and there was a lot of audience feedback too of not wanting to go on the side characters and spend time with them and get back to the core, original core characters. There was a lot of feedback from the network and a lot of their research. And people online, I mean, you can find people that will support any version of the show.
Yeah.
There's, you know, all the people that want it on ice, and I keep fighting that.
I want it now.
You know, Z Nation on Ice, that would be pretty funny.
We're still waiting on that musical episode.
Yeah.
So you go back to ice, though, if they go to Numerica, and that's in Canada.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's an option.
Provided that the entire world has not been murdered.
Like zombies Bambi. On ice.
It's a whole
hockey
thing.
Zombies.
We did have hockey zombies. We've had hockey zombies twice.
Yeah.
But like on the ice.
Skating.
Instead of a Zamboni, it's a Zomboni.
No, that was Mac's original, like when we did the backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first iteration of zombies on ice.
We had real skating in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss that. That was such a nice happy moment in a very dark season. Uh-huh. But yes, more zombies on ice, always a plus.
I mean, but with all of our characters, we don't do holding deals like a normal show. You know, a normal show, when you cast somebody, you have them for 5 years tied up, and we don't have any of that. Every season, we have to rework it with everybody, and we get a different budget that's less every season than we had the season before. And, you know, so it's sort of like that, the cooking show thing, you know, and you've got 15 minutes to do it in. So there's a lot of things that we would love to do story-wise. I would love to have had Addie through the whole season and done, you know, a whole side story with Sun Mei and Red. But at a certain point, it was either don't have them in at all for the season or get everybody back, pay it back, and also, you know, set them up to bring them back in a future season. And the fact that everything doesn't tie up and everything's not explained.
Well, that was something that you always said, was like leaving those loose ends were always going to be beneficial for the next season. And on top of it, the Warren's dream being the real push force that
right.
we needed yeah. to stay with Warren's dream at all costs all the way through. So, yeah.
I think that's the prediction that I was angriest about. Full-on Winter Soldier. Like, oh!
Yes, I have to hand it to these ladies. Everybody last at the end of last episode made some really good guesses about the nature of the finale and the nature of Warren's visions. And I gotta say, everybody on this table was way closer than me.
I hate being
You're
right.
so close. You're so
She's
close.
She's a sleeper agent. She's been secretly programmed to be evil. I think I threw that out like 3 different times. Just like, lol, wouldn't it be funny if... I hate being right.
I think that's part of the fun, though. I think people... I mean, sometimes you like to be fooled, but sometimes you like to figure out who the murderer was and go, oh, yeah, all right, I got all the pieces,
I
too.
I solved
you know?
The mystery.
Right, right. There was only so many kids. Things. Right. And again, it's so not about the plot anyway, so...
You have a question?
I have 2-part questions.
Now, aren't they spoiler questions?
Yeah,
again, Cherry,
no.
you need to stop that.
No.
There's okay. nothing to spoil now, hasn't it all aired?
But so, we can't ask about next season.
Oh.
Yes, we can.
No, we so,
I could just be lying.
No, not to me.
Well, that you know, that's part of the appeal.
Right.
The unreliable narrator.
Exactly.
He does enjoy that.
So someone asked me on Twitter, did Warren say Murphy or Mercy?
Mercy. She says have mercy at the end.
Because I'm feeling a chemistry between Murphy and Warren, and I'm thinking... They've progressed to friendship.
Their connection.
People been shipping yeah. them. I don't know what that
is. This is actually the first
exactly
time. This is the first
is.
Time I'm hearing about this theory.
No, no,
is this
really?
Real?
I've seen it online a bunch of times.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah,
oh,
on nah. Twitter and stuff like that.
No. On the one hand, from a completely objective standpoint, I think it's much more interesting if they just remain confidants or people who are at odds that have a mutual respect for one another. I think that's more interesting, but that doesn't stop me from yelling at the TV at least once an episode. Now kiss.
She does.
No.
Now kiss.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
hilarious.
I'm not into it. I don't
ship
it.
I heartily disagree with that shipping.
I mean, y'all want to ship it? Fine, cool, whatever. I'm just kind of like,
I feel like we need to pass around a hat on this one and just draw votes.
I mean, you'll probably see more. We'll get back to the conflict between them again. You know, that everybody's going to take. I mean, I like to do that every season and just tumble all the characters into new sort of stances and relationships and flip things over. So. You know, he was red for a reason at the end of season 4.
I'm sure he was thrilled.
Yeah. Poor,
actually,
poor
he liked
team.
That. He missed being blue. I'm not kidding.
Was it easier in the makeup chair, the red, as opposed
oh
to the
Oh, my
blue?
God. His day was literally probably half as short. I'm not even kidding.
Wow.
Well,
you know, certainly probably... hours, 3 or 4 hours shorter. Because he to do that blue, he would come in like, oh, if they were doing his whole body, that was like 5 or 6 hours.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think.
You had to bring
and
him in.
Just
later.
To do his face and hands was like 3 hours.
Yeah.
So if he had a 6 o'clock call, he'd come in at 3 a.m.
And then the patchwork in season 3, that was
took
even more
time.
Long.
Right, right. All of, yeah, sure.
Just
because
waiting
was
for
a
somebody
face.
To cue dun, 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 dun.
But the red can be translucent and the blue couldn't.
Well, they so may that, just spray it on. I don't know what
yeah,
we're
doing.
Just
yeah.
give them some, you know, tablets that just kind of soak through or something.
I just thought
systemic
it was,
makeup.
Just spray tan booth. All right, get in.
He's yeah, the red to me, I really liked the look of that. Like once we saw it.
He looks those, great in a color.
Looked, yeah,
I mean,
he looked
I
amazing
admit.
In the red. Like he came out, and I felt like we were kind of giving an homage to the remake coming up of Hellboy.
Well,
I was going to say yeah. he looked a
but
lot like Hellboy.
I saw him
like
the other day, and he was clean shaven and had like a regular haircut, and he looked like a 25-year-old dorky kid.
Right.
I didn't even recognize him. I am not kidding. I did not recognize who it was. I thought it was like a nephew of his. It's like, that guy looks a little like Keith.
You like it's a like, distant oh cousin of some sort.
But he definitely looks like 10 years younger without the beard. And,
right.
You know, wow. He's just, I mean, it makes you realize what a good actor he is, too.
Yeah.
When you see his street look, and you go, my goodness, that's not the same person at all.
Right.
I would never recognize him.
Now, well, and most guys look younger without a beard.
Yeah. I do have to ask, when we finally get to D.C. and they find the entrance, was that, maybe this is a better question for Daniel, but was that an intentional homage to Raiders of the Lost Ark?
Oh, the thing with the beam of light and all of that?
Yeah, my hands down.
That was like, I don't know, we need something little flashy here. You know? I mean, really, and I'm sure unconsciously, yeah, sure.
I have a feeling.
I mean, everything in the whole show is an homage to some damn thing, you know, even other things that we've done. homages to ourselves at this point.
Dr. Teller in a fit of boredom was watching Indiana Jones and going, what if I made her do that?
that would be hilarious.
Well, part of the, also baked into the show is the idea that our, because so often in science fiction, like in The Walking Dead, they don't call them zombies. You know, it's like as if, and nobody ever saw a zombie movie or show on The Walking Dead, whereas our guys have seen movies, have seen, you know, Back to the Future. They've seen, they're swimming in the same stew of ideas that we are. And that's one of the things that I think makes the show fun is all the cultural references and
the entire cast of Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Hamilton!
But at least they survived for a little longer.
Such
you know?
A beautiful addition to this. This is all of Congress and the cast of Hamilton.
I voted for you!
That series of one-liners killing the Congress. But
okay, yeah, again, like, why is that? It's like, well, we have like 15 suits. We're out of, we don't have enough suits for all the extras. What else do you got? It's like, well, what do we got? Well, we have some pirate outfits with like the blue things. And I go, well, that looks kind of Hamilton-ish. All right. So they're Hamilton guys. You know, I mean, that's make it up as we go.
I was thinking you almost had an homage to Game of Thrones when they were saying, close the door, close the door, close door.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that too.
Absolutely.
That was us.
How did you guess that? You spotted that?
It.
Man, we thought we buried that one.
I know.
The deepest of cuts.
The easterest of eggs.
Let's talk about Dr. Teller for a little bit.
Yes, because he's had very interesting development over the course of this season. Ever since he was introduced, he was initially introduced as the scientist who... a very tragic figure with what happened to his wife and what we thought was, you know, the loss of his son. Also, when we were introduced to him at the beginning of season 3. And then
he's had more posthumous development than he's had living development.
Yes,
totally surprised. He had no idea he was in for that much work. You know? He was in one episode and... All of a sudden, we're going, oh, yeah, guess what? Season 4 is all around, built around you.
He's like, I died at the beginning of this season. Why am I still here?
So,
why am I still getting casting calls?
That's another example of
flashback time.
Yeah, that's another example of being dropped off in Zona in the beginning of season 3
right.
in a flashback that takes place like in the middle of season 2. And then suddenly it comes back, and it's like the driving force.
It all worked out. It all worked out.
I mean, we're all very fond of that flashback, not gonna lie.
It was,
yeah.
It was pretty great. For reasons completely not at all related to self-indulgence or anything like that. It's fine.
For those of you tuning in for the first time, 3 of the 4 hosts were in that episode as zombies.
It was really fun.
For everyone going, what the hell are they talking about?
We just really liked that episode, guys.
It was great. Very rarely does my mother call me and go, I recorded your episode. What part are you on? Are you in any other episode? Should I record anything else? I watched Z Nation for you. I didn't understand it, but I watched it for you.
That same conversation with my mother and my grandmother. I didn't even tell them I was a zombie.
My mom
had no idea what kind of show it was. She just thought it was some lighthearted family show.
She knew it was a zombie show. I've talked to her about it before. She just never watched an episode. So it's like, here, go straight in the deep end for your daughter's 2 minutes of screen time. Okay. We get my SAG card for this.
My mom, before she DVR'd it, and before she watched it, she went, you're a zombie. And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, but you don't get killed on screen.
I would love to get killed
on screen. I was kind of hoping we would. we we were back. In a scene with 10K. I was kind of expecting to go down.
But let's get back to Dr. Teller's development. Yeah. I want to talk about 10K and Sarge for sure, but let's talk about Dr. Teller.
Dr. Teller is an a-hole.
Yes!
What? Sorry to use harsh abbreviation.
He's the nicest guy. Like, this guy is like the most amazing, like the actor.
The actor.
He's like the nicest. He's the nicest.
Concerned if you had Dr. Teller.
We brainwashed his people. We cast him because he's got those puppy dog.
Yeah, he's got the puppy dog
eyes. He's so empathetic. He's such a sweet guy, and he's so empathetic. You needed somebody who just was instantly empathetic.
We liked him a lot when we first saw him for the because it was, yeah, you're right.
Because he was never a bad guy in our mind. No. Backfill story as we got into the next season.
I will expand on that. In his mind, he's doing what he thinks is the right thing.
Like, genocide!
We don't find out until the end that he's totally cool with Zona's side of life. And we've been conditioned the entire season to think Warren is destroying the Black Rainbow and it's evil, because it kind of is. And
you're just assuming that she and Teller can't be doing something wrong. So. Yeah.
Well, you also have to look at, like, I mean, in the apocalypse, at that stage of the game, when things are that bad and they've been overrun to that degree, I don't think anybody looks at morality as right or wrong. Yeah. At that point in time, it's literally triage every day. And I think if you're a scientist on Zona, triage is, all right, let's narrow the variables. I think if you're like in the apocalypse, it's, I need to survive to the next day. And if that means that, you know, hey, look, I'm walking down the street, you end up getting overtaken, to save you means I'm probably going to die, I'm probably going to keep walking. Like, that's the mentality of people in the apocalypse. Guys are the anomaly.
Look how greedy and insane people are now. Just imagine after, like,
that's,
you know.
That's true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Billions and billions of people have died in front of you. Everybody you know is dead. I think what's swimming around in people's heads is, you could justify at that point.
Both of you two had a point. Cherry and then Katie.
I think that, I mean, I have a lot of empathy not only for Dr. Teller, but also for the Murphy. I mean, both of them are trying to survive and do what they think is best, but everyone's judging them really harshly. I know if it were me, I hate to say it, but I would totally be in Zona married to some super old guy, and I'd be like, you know, I'm cool with this.
Right.
I'm okay.
Where's the wine sip, dog? I love that guy. He was this British guy came in random. No, I'm not joking. He came in and
was he actually British? I thought he was
no, that was the real British guy. And we were both like, and we were both like
British,
because I looked over at you and I was like, that guy's great. Right. I was like, he doesn't need to act, and Carl goes, yeah, that means like Zona is international. It's like,
right,
it's like we were imagining.
Well, then we cast the French guy too.
The French guy. I mean, if we could have had like big celebrities on there, that would have been fun too, like pop stars like Jay-Z and Beyonce, and
right,
you know, that would have been just like, you know, but that's what like Zona became, is this, it's like a true culmination of the world's most elite, so
the worst of the worst. 0.0001%.
Hey, some of them are nice, and they're giving back.
And now,
they're taking away
They're trickling down.
What is the percentage they're taking away on the national parks at this point? Like,
we don't count the angry orange. He's 50% or something.
No,
he's
like
only
that.
Their ringleader.
Terrible.
But anyway, you had a point about Dr. Teller that you wanted to make.
Pretty dang sure that the whole, okay, so I've come up with an aerosol vaccine and I need you to distribute it, and we're subverting Black Rainbow. That's kind of the story that you have to feed someone to get it to work. And then right at the end, by the way, I'm evil.
Now, I do have to ask.
That's pretty much it.
I do have to ask, was that the plan from the start? Was he manipulating her from the get-go, or was he found out partway through her training?
No, he was manipulating her from the beginning.
Boo. Curse you, Dr. Teller.
He was on the side of the founder. Now, this may be one of those is Decker a replicant question, so I'm going to turn it over to you and
ask
you.
Well, I think
in my mind, he was always on the side of the founder. But what?
He was always a bad guy. I mean, because he was working on bad things back at Teller Labs, and he always had a backstory that was a little sketchy and had turned out badly for him, and you sort of felt like he'd already gotten his punishment for what he did, but. But then there was a reason that Zona knew who he was and was coming after him specifically and brought him to Zona. And, so it was sort of like they reached out to one of their evil minions that they'd found who was trying to hide from them and brought him back and put him back to work. And once he saw what the setup they had, well, he was a happy, Nazi at that point.
So between what happened at Teller Labs to his wife and son and what he and the part he plays in Black Rainbow, I think Dr. Teller is the biggest evil scientist in this show.
I believe you're looking for a-hole.
Right. That's the
Mengele.
A PhD in horribleness.
So here's my question. What about Mr. Sunshine? Because we know nothing about him. This whole time, we're going, all right, he wants information on Black Rainbow. He's working for Zona. He's working against our protagonist. Did he know that she'd been programmed? Did he know that Black Rainbow was set to off?
There's only one thing to say. He has yellow sunglasses.
Don't tell you everything you need to know.
I think that's the only spoiler I can give away, right?
That answered everything. That's the only spoiler I can give away.
He has yellow sunglasses.
Now,
I don't know anything.
Follow
about
up
him,
question. Where did he get those yellow sunglasses?
That's all I can say. Is he's got yellow sunglasses. Go back to episode 1, season 4, and episode 2, and then count the yellow sunglasses.
There's one sunglass hut on the island.
Well, the people with the yellow sunglasses have not had the Zona vaccine that's making everyone go insane. So he's one of the few people that hasn't had the vaccine,
which is why
he still wears his yellow glasses.
I'm wondering if... The question is how much he knew about Teller's plan.
I think he was out to stop... I think he was actually out to stop the plan the whole time.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, yes.
There was going to be scenes, and we just dropped them because we didn't need them, where you saw that he was Teller's assistant. And then, if the scene where they put her to sleep, put Warren to sleep, if you had continued that scene, it was actually written at one point that the two of them move off, leaving her behind, and you see Mr. Sunshine sort of step out of the darkness like he'd been watching, and he was checking on her. But we didn't. In the end, we wound up not... Just because we didn't have him on the days that we were filming those other parts, so.
So he did know, and he was trying to keep it from going off.
Right. He knows the reset's happening, and somebody's going to Black Rainbow back in D.C., and he needs to go to Northern Lights and get the codes, and then take the codes and beat that person to D.C. in order to stop it.
Hence so taking the president.
Mr.
Thumbs.
Sunshine was the hero this whole time.
Yes. Chaotic good.
Actually, really like that those scenes didn't work out. I think it's cooler that we only had that first moment where we see him melting the zombie hand and then he takes off. And we're left thinking he's the bad guy for the entire season.
I think, all the time we get notes from the network to explain things. And it's like, nobody cares. They don't care. It doesn't. But it's interesting not to have those pieces and to fill them in yourself. And again, like the real world, there are times when you just don't know things that happened. Which to me was, I think it was really... Even though it bothered people that Sun May and Red disappeared and we never dealt with it, it was like, shit happens like
that. I love that.
People just go away in a situation like that and you don't know for years until they pop up, that it's like World War II, or being a refugee or something like that.
I think the thing for Sun May in particular is that we had two mass disappearances in those episodes.
Right.
And then that plot thread disappeared. I think it was less, that happens to people sometimes, and more, something is happening and it is no longer addressed.
No, you're right, you're right. And if you look at episode 5, The Unknowns.
Right, with the sound.
Like, that one is like what's so cool about that, and I remember you got those network notes too that they kept asking to explain what was going on, and the whole point of the episode is characters don't know what's going on.
We don't know what's going on.
That was Box Help.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, they wanted that to tie into the plot. And it was like, no, that's the whole point. There's a whole other apocalypse going on that our guys have no part in. That's like a whole other world that they stumbled into for an episode. That's another show. They fell into another show for an episode, got out of that, got back into Z Nation again.
Where were we?
It only ties into the canon because dog food is a delicacy.
Well, that was just product placement. That was just purely.
God bless 10K.
But in all seriousness, like those kind of things where you don't know what's going to happen, and they don't tie in, and they do raise a question, but the question's never answered.
Also,
sometimes that's the best way to narratively move forward.
Nobody else gets to do that. Nobody's paying attention to what we're doing when we're doing it. We're spending money. It's like we're up in Spokane. Nobody comes to visit. I get like half a dozen notes an episode. It's like if you tried to have people just disappear like that on a network show, you'd get so many notes from people making you explain it and having it all like... You know, that's why we just do crazy stuff on Z Nation and get away with it, because nobody's paying attention to us.
So basically, when you guys get notes, you're like, whatever, we do what we want.
It's like when you only get six notes, you feel like you have to pay attention. You can't like blow them off, you know. It's like but usually, like three of the notes we're already doing, and three of them, no, you can't do that. Nice note, but we don't have 10,000 Indians to have them come over the hill like you thought. Like, so...
That's physically impossible.
Right, yeah. And I'm good at dragging things out until, oops, we already shot that, you know, things like that, so...
Where's the dog at? Citizen Z's dog. We haven't seen him in a long time.
Around Northern Lights there.
Oh, man. Playing, I don't know.
Playing with the baby.
Aww. Yes, I want to see him with him playing with the baby.
He might. That kid was so much better behaved, though, than that dog.
Yeah. The dog was an angel. There is nothing but good dogs.
The dog was a beautiful, beautiful dog. Fortunately, I did not have to shoot with him once.
I think the deal was, I think the director said, okay, 5 days, you can have kids, you can have dogs, you can't have kids and dogs.
Well, isn't that the
same scenes if you want to do these shows in 5 days. Unless you're going to have a stuffed dog standing there.
Isn't the saying here in Hollywood is never work with kids or animals?
You're like, we'll do one. And then cut to the footage from 3 seasons ago. The dog, the thing,
just lying on the bed looking up, what?
Yeah, get the kid to look off screen and have the dog from 3 seasons ago look back at him. But
superimpose them in the same shot together.
Photoshop this, right? We can do this in post.
It'll become another cartoon.
He's not dead. Let's just say that.
Oh, okay, good.
He's fine. The dog is fine. He's
this
happy.
Show can be cruel, but it's not going to kill the dog.
No.
He's off hunting on the tundra.
I buy that. Taking down zombie polar bears.
So I also do, I want to talk about Sarge a little bit, because she was a character that was introduced this season, and she was named after a fan who sadly passed away, but like whose memory is commemorated in this character. And she had a lot of really great development in this two-parter. First, when her loyalty is tested with the president, and then again, kind of with the way her relationship with 10K sort of flourishes.
That is a beautiful way to put that.
It's that scene from The Mummy. Like, why did you kiss me? I was about to die. Seemed like a good idea at the time. It's pretty much that.
Pretty much that. Was it fun getting to explore her character, especially because again, we've had a few characters come from military backgrounds. Was it fun to throw one into the mix who would follow an order from? Basically, you know, a president who's just queen of the ashes.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It's always fun when we add a character, you know, and you see how they develop, who they turn into over time. Because you kind of wind up with more and more of who they really are as you go. And the character sort of becomes, you know, what unconsciously always comes through them. So Gracie Gilliam is great and was funny in different ways than we had originally envisioned Sarge, but totally made it her own character. And it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, when they do cross paths with Bread here in the future.
Ooh.
And what might go down. So, yeah, she was really interesting to write for, just the idea of somebody who has been raised by Marines in this environment and doesn't really, you know, is a little bit like 10K in that they never had a proper upbringing. So they're a product of the apocalypse.
Yeah, because she was young when the apocalypse happened. She had that story about her parents locking her in the trunk and going to come back for her, and they weren't able to.
Right.
So she was a kid when all this went down.
Right. Like 11.
Are she and 10K right around the same age?
I think he's a little bit older than her.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would explain part of it, I think.
part of what?
The infatuation. I don't know how I feel about. I think it's very funny the way she very much like falls for him at the end of the episode. I think it makes for a great joke. But like as a couple, I'm like, I don't know, guys. I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, you know, 10K is just not making the first move. He's never making the first move. No. He doesn't even know. 10K doesn't know about a first move.
There
like,
are moves?
He's like, right,
he's
like
got no
10K,
moves.
10K,
he's got
like,
no game.
10K just goes, oh, suddenly the electricity in the air feels awkward. That's 10K.
His idea of a first move is giving a girl his gun.
Yeah, it's nice. Exactly.
It's like, here you go, you're pretty.
Exactly.
And his second move is building a tent house with him.
Right, yeah, right, yeah.
Good second move.
And you actually see his. Is like the exact thing you're talking about in 107 of like our show. So mm-hmm. like basically, yeah, you're right. 10K doesn't know. He's like, oh, what, you like me here?
Right.
Let's shoot.
Let's go shoot guns.
Is he gonna keep growing the beard out in season 5?
Who knows what he'll look like when he comes back?
Razors are like, sparse.
Okay, but straight edge knives though.
He would know how to do that.
He would.
You're going to want to see that, aren't you?
I'd be down.
Like shaving.
There's something about a man who can shave with a knife.
I'd love to watch him try to teach. I'd love to watch him try to teach Murphy how to do it.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
Maybe we'll just have 10K with his leg propped up.
Or of course,
he doesn't actually know. He's full fuzzy, but these are perfect.
Or Murphy and Doc both like, you know, trying to show each other how to properly shave a guy. You know, he's like the guinea pig for him.
I'm wondering
they
if
they just
by
go
the...
back to Sketchy and Skeezy's barbershop.
Yes.
Oh.
Love Sketchy and
full
Skeezy.
Full on Sweeney Todd straight
I'll have
razor.
The half.
Yeah. It's going to be a thing. I also want to talk about Doc and Murphy because they've had a lot of great moments together in this season. And I wanted to know from you guys, what do you guys think was the highlight of their dynamic this season?
Because,
I mean,
wow.
The season basically wraps up with them staring down the apocalypse together.
Again.
Yeah.
Well, they're
starting
to have some
the third
fun
time?
Killing zombies in episode 12,
yeah.
Right? They're like, you know,
it's like a quip off.
Yeah, doing the hustle or something like that.
Exactly.
It's electric slide.
Well, that's one of those things that wasn't scripted, I don't think.
No.
And you're just like in dailies going, did I write that? What were they doing? I don't know. I love it. time to reshoot it. So
no, but the funny thing about Doc and like we were joking on the set when we were shooting it because you know we're shooting against a green screen with Doc and Murphy.
The ending
and,
there
and basically we're watching this and as we're watching their two shot, we're starting to think to ourselves we should just like. Get the rights to drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds,
right?
Because I mean, the way their cadence, everything like that, it sort of comes down to the fact that you know they have a almost like a Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid mm-hmm. kind of vibe.
Well, all of them at this you know? Point just they have such a good sense of rapport and timing between them that I mean that's the real secret to how we make the show and it's good is just them hanging out doing nothing is funny. or reacting and responding to even anything is funny watching them do it. So
they've got really great chemistry.
Yeah, no, and which is amazing considering the way we cast the show and the crazy way the asylum works and the fact that we don't have deals with people and we have to renew them every year and there's a reason they have everybody dead at the end of every season. It's like, you might not have made it, negotiations. So.
Just in case. It's
right.
Just in case. It's insurance. There's a level of insurance every season.
It's a nice policy.
Yeah.
So we are getting a little bit short on time. So I do want to delve into some predictions, but before we delve into predictions, I wanted to know, do you guys have any more questions for our excellent guest?
I got one. You probably can't answer it, but I'm doing it for her. How is Sarah Coates going to come back?
Yay!
As a...
I got you, Sarah.
She's like, she's like my friend Matt Dearborn, where you get $100 every time you mention his name on the air somewhere, Matt, if you're listening. You owe me $100. Well, we love Sarah Coates. There may be some way, you know, flashback, anybody? Who knows?
I love me my flashbacks.
You know,
ghosts.
Or evil twin. You know,
that would be amazing.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so funny.
Queen of Numerica.
She just starts doing the Marguerite voice from Resident
Evil
7.
Like I said, it's C-Nation. We can do pretty much anything we want.
Such a long email from Sarah.
Just like all these pitches. I'm going to go ahead and throw out my my two cents there. Musical episode, extended dream sequence, where she gets in her own musical number.
Entirely possible.
All right. I would just like to hit yes to all. Yes to all.
Jerry, any more questions before we go into predictions?
But why, though?
I liked Warren as blonde. I thought it was really cool and she was surprisingly fashionable.
Thank you for
and I love
that.
The shield.
She so didn't want to do that.
She didn't. I thought it looked so cool.
That's what I thought too. But it was very hard to do. It was a lot of work. So, but thank you for saying that. You got me out of some trouble.
And my other question is, oh my gosh, I was totally distracted with your liking that. I loved how we were talking about the black rainbow the entire season. And in my mind, I literally thought it was going to be a rainbow made of black. How did you guys sort of, I know you said that you use that special effects people, but how did you sort of take the idea of putting it on the drone, then making the drones kind of look like a black rainbow? Because that, as a fan, my mind was, literally I was screaming when I was watching. I was like, my God, that's such a great idea.
That was, he had thought of that from the very beginning. So as an example, we had a conversation because Carl walks us through the season at the very beginning of the writer's room, and he walks us through generally what's going to be happening. And I remember specifically on the day that you described that,
I was drunk.
Picture.
I forgot the whole thing. Sorry.
He just comes in, guys, this is what we're doing. Yeah.
What is a rainbow? But it's black. Right. Like my soul.
It's murder.
But he just drew a picture up on the board. And then when we went and we had the conversation with the visual effects team, it was, because literally we had to make that right off the bat. So all of these dream beats, a lot of them we made early in the season. And, it had to become this writhing, living organism. And so we knew it was coming off of the drones. We knew it was based on, like, an artificial intelligence that would interact. And we knew that it had to feel... the birds, the way the birds move and so forth.
Right, like a murmuration of birds.
Yeah.
That it needed to move, have that feel to it.
And that was him from the very beginning. Like, he had that idea. That was headed to this direction, guys. This is the end point.
But it all happens in like, pieces. Because originally it started out, the season was going to start that Warren was in a coma, but there wasn't any plan or anything. But she had been dreaming of all the kills she had done. And what she was going to do was wake up this season And the big twist of this season was going to be is Warren won't kill. And she can't. And she and when she does, she goes into this fugue dream state. And we knew she was going to have some sort of dream. And then it was sort of like, well, that's not an active enough character. It'd be hard to do that for a whole season. And the network was pushing back on it. And it was like, well, and then I came up with the title. And then it was sort of like, okay, so we'll, you know, and all the pieces just sort of, and then we got that Teller guy. We'll throw him in. Throw him in from three seasons. That'll finally make sense.
The epiphanies are always the fun part, though. That's the thing. The epiphanies become the fun part, because then it's...
Well, you wonder how much your unconscious just, like, planted it in, like, yeah. from the whole... Yeah. Knew the whole time, like, the whole thing was there.
It ties in with a lot of the story elements from this season.
Well, but that's what it sort of feels like when you come... And I've heard other showrunners and writers talk about that, because you do wind up, if you're on the thing for five or six seasons, and you wonder, how did I know I was going to... Things like Warren Shield, you know, like, that seems like we were planning that from the beginning, but that's... Like totally a backfilled, or was it a backfilled thing, or was it always there? And
you and knew we it was, were just waiting to pick it up,
right? And there's just, but you know, because a lot of the big pieces all just show up, you know, in kind of in a row at some point for people. So,
are you a Bob Dylan fan?
I have been.
Route 66. There you go.
Yeah, there.
Perfect. Okay, so we are down to the last couple minutes of the show. We're gonna go around the table real quick. We'll start with Katie.
And now.
And I'm gonna limit it because we're short on time. One sentence prediction. Go.
Either we are going to immediately start the next season with our characters who have disappeared, or we're not going to see any of them until at least halfway through.
I don't have anything.
Sarah Combs is going to come back.
Yes! Technically, that was two sentences, but I'll allow it.
Semicolon.
There we go. Semicolon. Cherry?
We're going to end up in Zona. They're going to clean it out, and that's going to be Numerica.
I like the idea of Murphy's Blends coming back into play, since Ooh. Zona's just like... A trash fire right now.
Unless the trash fire found them and ate them. Popsicles.
Ooh, that's very
meat
true.
Meat popsicle. Wait.
That's all very possible. True. Well, again, thank you guys so much for coming on. It's always a pleasure getting to talk to you guys about the show and about your work on it. And again,
thank
congratulations on season 5.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for helping us get there, and all your fans and... That's why we get to do it, so...
We do our best.
We try. do you guys have any upcoming projects that you can tell us about? I know NDAs and stuff in development, it's tough.
Well, there is a... We are... looks like we're going to do a spinoff of Z Nation for Netflix.
Oh!
Called Black Summer.
Oh, my goodness.
It's about Black Summer. So...
We've wanted that for so long.
We have. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
It'll be, and it's about the summer when everybody died.
Awesome. Wait.
The day the music died. All right.
I'm so excited.
It should be good. It should be, it'll be interesting.
That sounds incredible.
Is there an ETA for that, or is that just, we got
approval? We're not sure yet. These deals things happened almost simultaneously, so I don't know which one's going to happen before the other, or if they're both going to happen in Spokane, or if one's going to happen in Canada and one in Spokane. I don't know yet. So, but it looks like it's definitely we're doing it. So,
well, congratulations
had you told
on that
anyone
as well.
Before?
What's that?
Had you told anyone before tonight?
AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
No, I don't think so.
This is the first time on
air. That was an AfterBuzz TV exclusive.
Thank you, guys.
It's been like bouncing around a little bit. I don't know if all the deals.
Well, I was going to let you talk first. I don't know if I can speak, so I'm just going to let him talk first about that. Because 2018, yeah, that's filled, man.
Right. Busy.
2018 is like, exactly.
Well, congratulations again. That's incredible. Abram, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You can go to... sorry, I don't want to give everybody my email. Sorry about that, guys. Yeah, I'm changing it. No, I'm kidding.
At hotmail.com.
Please don't send me like... I'm kidding. At TC Abram is on Twitter.
And I'm at Unreal Carl.
Thank you guys again so much
again.
For coming
thanks
on.
Thanks for having
you.
Us.
Cherry, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
Cherry_LA everywhere.
You can find me on Twitter at Michelle_Cullen.
I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias and on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. Ruby on Wednesdays. It's awesome.
I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Don't forget to comment on iTunes. If you guys are excited about Z Nation coming back for season 5, you need to comment on iTunes to make sure we come back for season 5. So thank you guys so much. Thank you again to the cast and crew. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you all so much for watching. We will see you all next season.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.